This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of December 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at today's agricultural news, including the WTO's decision to allow Canada and Mexico to put on retaliatory tariffs for cool labeling. And we'll also discuss the weather forecast that with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, futures sold off for the day. The corn pit is down 7 3/4. The finish there at 368.5 in the December contract. The March at 373.8 1/2 lower. And May down 8.5 as well at 378 3/4. July 384 1/4 8.5 lower. December corn at $3.95 1/2. A settlement price there down 7 3/4. Soy complex, January beans down 23 3/4. $8.82 1/4. The settlement price. The March at 885 3/4. 22 1/4 lower. In the May, down 22 1/4 at 891 3/4. July futures 898 down 22 1/2. And next year's November at 901 1/4 down 22 3/4. Bean meal futures at 278.90 down 6.20. Bean oil down 82 cents at $30.98. Soft red winter wheat December contract down a dime at 470.20. July at 495 even 2.5 lower. And the hard red July down 5 3/4 at $4.95 3/4. Feeder cattle finished the January down $4.35 at $155.10. That's actually a trade. December contract at 121.30 at this hour down $2.97 1/2. And lean hog still trading $55.37 1/2 or $1.67 1/2 lower at this hour. Here's what the energies look like for the day. Crude oil down $2.42 at $37.55. Ethanol futures 4 2/10 cents lower at $1.46 7/10. And gasoline on the wholesale price, that's the RBOB, at $1.20 9/10 cents down 6 cents for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.28 1/10 down 6 1/10 cents. And gold futures, or rather natural gas for the day, at $2.07 2/10 cents. That's down 11 4/10 cents.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Have you dialed in your support yet for our agricultural programming here at Illinois Public Media? I sure do hope so, but if not, now's the time. Do it now, though. And in the midst of a couple, 2 or 3 days here at the end of the year, in fact, we're at the end of our day for this fund drive where we're asking for your support. If ag programming makes a difference to you, and I know it's been a difficult year, just a bit about like that everywhere, but if it makes a difference, dial in that support right now, 217-244-9455. Maybe you attended the Farm Assets Conference. Just getting some of that ready to go up online at this point. You'll see it on the website at willag.org really soon, within the next couple of days. But it's an important thing to do, and if you do it right now, it would be really helpful. If you've already done it once, try it again. But when you call in at 217-244-9455, make sure you tell them you're in support of agriculture. Do the same thing if you're doing it online. There are a couple of boxes there that you can click. That way we'll know that you've made your pledge of financial support to the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. I like the 40, 80, 120, 160 kind of level, and I sure would appreciate it if you'd help us out today. Again, the number to call, 217-244-9455. This doesn't take very much time. If the analysts you listen to here on Illinois Public Media make a difference in your marketing efforts, and I bet they do, why don't you pledge your financial support to the radio station right now? A quick look at the weather forecast tells us this afternoon, mostly cloudy, 43 degrees tonight, mostly cloudy, and
support
35.
Comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media's Public Radio for the Farming World. That's your part of the deal. Call in right now with your pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455, online at willpledge.org or willag.org. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace for the day. Interesting day in Chicago, Kurt. After a couple of strong days, actually really kind of a not terribly strong, but nice week for both the corn and the soybean market. Last week, things turned around and decided to go down on this Monday. What happened?
Well, I believe it's a combination of things, and probably the thing we got to watch is kind of investor confidence, sort of the big picture here. There was talks that the index funds are seeing a growing redemptions materialize here following some poor returns. A lot of the commodity index funds over the last 2 years have had about a 40% drawdown, and that's not good if you're an investor. And you know, we really haven't seen a bull market here over the near term to prop those profits up. And you know, I think that was part of it. You know, on the day they're going in the noon hour, the funds were sellers over 5,000 beans, 7,000 corn. They were buyers of wheat going in the noon, but they turned sellers late in the day. To break it down a little further, outside markets, you know, crude oil, OPEC, not, you know, wanting to follow suit in through here. They say that, you know, America and everybody else doesn't have no production ceiling, so why should we? So it looks like, you know, for now, there's going to be ample supplies of crude oil amongst the producing countries and worldwide for a short period of time at least. Then lastly, the concern about this renewable fuels. There's a little question here on the tax credit or credits. Do they go to the blenders like they have been, or are they going to go ahead and shift it to the producer? Well, the blender says he's not going to blend any if he can't get the credit. Therefore, you're going to have ample supplies of bio around. So it's, you know, a combination of things, and probably be the follow-up. We've had a fairly good little bounce in the grains here over the last 2 weeks, particularly in bean oil and beans. And as you go to the middle of December in here, people start to think year-end and so forth, and we saw a day of correction. And I think we'll probably see follow-through Tuesday tomorrow a little lower and go from there.
Can I ask you about the definition for redemption as it relates to the funds? Are we talking about a rebalancing of the funds so that they're just getting, they're rolling out of commodities because they no longer feel that they're a good place to invest, or are you discussing something else?
Well, we'll see rebalancing and so forth, but the way I understand it, it's redemption from the individual investor. Just kind of not satisfied with the returns. And when you invest in some of these hedge funds and so forth, you just can't really get in, get out in one day. You got to put a notice in, give them ample notification on it. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that here as investors are looking for some other areas to put some money into. I don't know where else you would go. Evidently, it was in the bond market today. Because with metals down, energy's down, you know, the interest rate futures were higher here, indicating that money flow amongst the world's going into U.S. bonds here over the short term.
Usually if the grains and the oil seeds, corn in particular, are lower, we will have a higher livestock market. That's not the case. What's going on there?
Well, the same thing, just investor confidence isn't there. You know, this cash market continues to stay soft in the livestock sector. You know, we're going to see some demand picks up in through here. We were optimistic hogs, figuring we'd see some, you know, ham demand surface here, you know, first 2 weeks of December. But with the mild weather, weight gains are going to be seen here as we go into winter. And also, too, the export news is still strong but kind of questionable on the meat sector. So it was just an overall down day across the whole commodity complex, other than the dollar index and interest rates.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me today.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. It is the 7th day of December. We'd like you to join us as well. In support of our agricultural programming, we're wrapping up a 3-day fund drive here. Not a very long one, where we're asking at the end of this calendar year, if you have the opportunity, the time, the inclination, just to make a quick donation to us at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, or online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, willpledge.org on willag.org. You're going to look up at the top of the page once you get there, and you'll find that there is a little button up there at the top that says donate. So you can do that. It's in the black right up at the top of the page, and it says donate. And once you've done that, you can fill out all your sorts of things, make a one-time gift, be a sustainer, whatever you like. But the important part is that you make a gift. You know, we work really hard day in and day out to bring you all kinds of agricultural programming, mostly on the marketplace, but we try to cover a lot of what's happening in the university system. That in part is my job, to make sure that the folks upstairs that work with FarmDoc, the agricultural economists, the crop scientists, sometimes the animal scientists, are available for you to listen to. And they come to you every day from Illinois Public Media, right here on WILLAG.org. If it makes a difference to you, whether those voices, the voices you hear from our analysts like Kurt Kimmel, and coming up, the folks from the Andersons or the weather folks, Mark Russo will be coming up a bit later in this program, help you make marketing decisions, then please do pick up the phone right now at 217-244-9455 and make your pledge of financial support. Don't wait. We're at the end of the year, and we're hopeful to wrap this one up really quickly. Thanks again in advance. Again, the phone number to call, 217-244-9455, or online at willpledge.org, willag.org, and then you go to the top of the page and hit donate there in the black stripe. In today's agricultural news, Congress has until the 18th of this month, or 2 weeks, to pass tax extenders important to agriculture. The House earlier this year voted Section 179 expensing permanent, among other tax extenders. But the Senate Finance Committee has opted instead to revive the expired measures for 2015 and extend them through 2016. That, according to AgriPulse. Finance Chairman Orrin Hatch of Utah has said he's optimistic that House leaders can come around to the 2-year extension, but leadership has yet to make an indication. Members are negotiating, according to House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Among the tax extenders yet to see approval by Congress, including Section 179 expensing, the 50% bonus depreciation provision, and tax subsidies for biodiesel and wind power. Well, the California Supreme Court says consumers have a right to file lawsuits under California law alleging food products are falsely labeled organic. The ruling last week overturned a lower state court decision that barred such lawsuits because they were not allowed by federal law. An appeals court had ruled in 2013 that Congress wanted only state and federal officials to police organic food violations to create a national standard for organic foods. However, the state Supreme Court said allowing consumer lawsuits would further congressional goals of curtailing fraud and ensuring consumers can rely on organic labels. At issue were allegations in a lawsuit by a consumer that Herbtime Farms, one of the nation's largest herb producers, mixed organic and non-organic herbs, then falsely labeled the product 100% organic. Well, the National Pork Producers Council remains hopeful a change in leadership for Argentina will lead the country to lift its ban on U.S. pork. Argentina's new president-elect has been described as pro-business and a supporter of trade. His is expected to be a significant change compared to the last president of Argentina, who maintained some protectionist measures that resulted in de facto bans of U.S. pork exports. The National Pork Producers Council says it's been working with USDA in negotiating an export certificate with Argentina that would open its market. Progress on those talks was slow under the old leadership, but is expected to move faster under the country's new leader. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Hey, have you dialed in your financial support yet? Hope so. 217-244-9455. If you're online, willpledge.org or willag.org. Donate today, and don't forget to tell them it's in support of agriculture. There's one other really important news item for agriculture today. The WTO, the World Trade Organization, today authorized Canada and Mexico to assess over $1 billion in retaliatory tariffs on U.S. products. Dale Moore is the executive director of public policy with the American Farm Bureau and was speaking in Kansas at the Kansas Farm Bureau annual meeting today. Following his speech, Moore speculated on what happens next following the WTO announcement.
So now we're going to see, you know, whether it's in dairy or poultry or, you know, fruits and vegetables, who knows what all they have on their list. Some of it's going to be commodity-based, some product-based. But other farmers and ranchers are going to start feeling the bite because of this ruling.
Moore says Canada and Mexico could begin implementing the tariffs as early as next week.
The effectiveness of it, though, it's like any government process. They've got to put pieces in place, and it's going to kick up and ramp up. Now, in real terms, in business terms, I think you about have to consider it immediate because it'll start affecting things that maybe, you know, I'm company X and I, you know, am importing something from the United States and I signed those contracts, you know, or that agreement 3 months ago, 6 months ago, and now this retaliation is going to impact it. And so who's going to pay that extra cost in there? This is going to have some real effects, and I bet that we're going to hear more from, I mean, it's the whole idea behind the retaliation, hear more from our side of the border as those companies, as those individuals that market directly to Canadian consumers are going to be complaining very loudly and very clearly to their congressmen and congresswomen, to their senators, saying, you know, this needs to be stopped.
And he gives his best guess as to how a full repeal of COOL may be handled legislatively.
This fix will be part of an omnibus spending package or some other piece of must-pass legislation, as we refer to it. And it's going to be, I think, the kind of compromise that has folks grumbling. Hopefully, you know, on the right side of the equation, everybody is convinced that we've stopped this, that we can go to Canada and Mexico. You know, there's this assumption that if you repeal COOL, you're in favor of what Canada and Mexico have done. I want to be clear, what folks need to understand is this effort is about stopping those two countries from retaliating against commodities and products that are not part of the beef and pork complex. That's what Canada, that's what Mexico is going to do to us. And that's the effort that we know on the Senate side, that we've had leadership on the House side take care of. And then we can work on whatever the next thing is on country of origin labeling for beef and pork. And hopefully this time, when we put it together, it'll be WTO compliant. We won't go through this.
Moore says that while Canada and Mexico were waiting for the numbers from the WTO, they had been working on their list of retaliatory tariffs.
The flip side is that we have time between now and the end of this year for Congress to kind of drop the gate down and say, bing, bang, boom, we're done. Now, how Canada and Mexico, there's always more steps, you know. But if it gets in place and we have to start unwinding that, that too causes pain, that causes frustration. And it's not like we get a rebate. It's like, well, you fixed it. It's like, well, okay, fine, but you fixed it 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks after the start of this process. And we've been feeling the impact, you know, for the past 2-3 years. So we are in this mode of where Canada, Mexico have a number. I don't know how much more we need before we fix something, but if it takes a train wreck on the retaliation front and actual impacts and actual farmers and ranchers getting hurt by these retaliatory measures, you know, hopefully then we will see enough of those senators are able to get past those that simply want to keep holding things up.
Well, the WTO authorized a combined $1 billion annual retaliation, worth some $780 million to Canada and about $227 million for Mexico. Our thanks to farm broadcaster Greg Akagi from WIBW Radio out of the Kansas Agricultural Network in Topeka, Kansas, for our story with Dale Moore. Well, it's a Monday afternoon. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is with us. She's from the Andersons, from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy. How are you today?
Doing good. Wish it was a little sunnier, but, you know, it's that time of year, I suppose.
I suppose it is that time of year. Boy, it's as dreary as it is outside. The markets were a lot more dreary. At least it seems to be the case. What happened in the cash side of the market today?
Yeah, actually, not a lot of movement here in the cash side of things today. Basis has stayed where it's at, even with the weakness. So we'll see if that picks up reactionary maybe tomorrow if we see a little bit more strength, if the board stays down. But not a lot of activity there. We did see some farmer selling of soybeans at the end of the week last week on the rally, so that was good ahead of this sell-off today. But still look have several people looking to get some more priced if we can get back up above that $9 level.
You think that'll happen?
Today didn't help us at all, obviously, but I definitely think that it could happen again here, maybe even before the end of the year. Just historically, this time of the year, we're a little bit more positive, but it's going to depend a lot, I think, on the outside markets and whether basis will do any of the work to help get us above there again.
On the break today, did the basis just stay with it or did it tighten up?
It stayed with it today, but we'll see if there's any reaction tomorrow to this sell-off here. Depending on what the market does here overnight, will probably dictate a little bit of that, but it just stayed steady where we're at for right now.
Your assessment of the corn market at this time?
Corn, obviously, got drugged down here a little bit by beans again today. There's just not that much corn that's going to get moved, I think, here until at least after the first of the year. We might see some based more on cash flow needs than anything else at this point. But really what we're looking for is, seeing what the acres are going to do going into December 16. The market's telling us there's plenty of old corn out there. We're seeing that in the hands of the farmer at this point. But sub $4 D16 futures doesn't entice a lot of additional corn acres. So hopefully that will help us out here in the next several months.
Demand to the southeast still good?
I'm sorry?
Is demand to the southeast still good?
It is, yes, and that has helped basis stay where it is today. So that's really been our saving grace, I guess, to this point.
And we've heard, of course, and you've probably been tracking this a bit, that there have been trains on occasion making their way to Decatur. Is that true?
That's what we're hearing. yes.
I cannot deny or confirm, right?
No, I can't. Not specifically out of our facility, so I can't deny or confirm from that, but we sure have been hearing a lot of that, yes.
All right. And what are your bids for the day?
You bet. 376 going home tonight for cash corn. Fall is 370 across the scale. Cash soybeans today, 877 on the close. Fall of 2016 at 876. We've got cash wheat at 473 with new crop at 470.
It's always good to have a conversation with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Amy Sage. She's from the Andersons, from right here in Champaign County. Joins us here on Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon, the 7th day of December. You still have time to dial in your pledge of financial support to us at 217-244-9455. Online, willag.org, willpledge.org. On willag, there's a donate button up at the top. It's in the black way up there at the top, and you can hit that, make your pledge of financial support. Again, it's quick, simple, and easy. You could just call and tell us you're going to send us the money, or you can, of course, use your credit card. Back in 2 minutes with the weather.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Cotton Candy Day. cotton candy was brought to the masses by William Morrison and John Wharton. They introduced it at the St. Louis World Fair in 1904 as Fairy Floss. Fairgoers snatched up the treat, paying 25 cents, half the price of admission to the fair, for a single box. The pair patented the first electric machine for spinning sugar in 1897. It's also Feast of St. Ambrose of Milan, patron of beekeepers. On this day in agricultural history in 1863, Richard Warren Sears was born. He developed his mail-order jewelry business into Sears, Roebuck & Company. By 1894, the Sears catalog was 507 pages long. In 1879, Charles Broly was born, a Canadian naturalist. His investigations were among the first to implicate DDT as an environmental threat. In 1909, Leo Baekeland was issued a patent for Bakelite, the first plastic that did not soften when heated. The patent is generally remembered as the heat and pressure patent, and it largely gave birth to the modern plastics industry. Bakelite has been used in everything from engine parts to jewelry to electronics. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Mark Russo is here from Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, to talk about the weather forecast. It's been dreary here in the Midwest. Either I suppose we need colder weather or lower dew points. Which one are we going to get? Neither.
Actually, one thing we are going to get is some stronger winds, and that with a little bit lower dew points briefly is going to help improve things as we go through the day tomorrow. But actually, we have a bit of a continuation of a tropical feed of moisture here into the U.S., so that's going to keep dew points elevated. But I think the main headline here is going to be the unseasonably warm temperatures that are going to continue here, not only through this week, but it looks like into all of next week as well. So for those that do not want an Arctic air mass coming in, well, you'll have your wish here for at least the next few weeks.
Okay, I vote for no Arctic blast, so that I suppose that works. How about turn your attention to South America, crop conditions in Argentina and Brazil?
Well, overall, crop conditions are in good shape, with the only issues of note at the present time, and they are minor issues. We have some wetness issues in portions of southern Brazil, Paraná, Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina in the south, and even into Paraguay as well. Those areas have received above normal rainfall, not only over the past 30 days, but past 60 days. That's resulted in some planting delays and some overall crop condition declines for winter wheat that's been harvested, but also now for newly developed corn and soybeans across the region. But in the grand scheme of things, no real major issues at the present time. And then up north in areas of Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, rainfall there has been below normal, but totals at this time of year are high enough to still support favorable crop development. And so in areas of Mato Grosso, their normal 1 week totals are on the order of about 2 to even some areas 2.5-3 inches of rain. So you're talking basically double what we normally receive here in the Midwest, like during our main summer growing months. Well, for Mato Grosso, you just double that there. So they're even with them being in a precip deficit, they still are receiving enough rainfall for favorable crop development. So bottom line is that we see no major issues right now across South America, although this same pattern will continue until further notice with the active conditions in southern Brazil, Paraguay, and the drier than normal conditions up north.
Did I make note that mostly their highs are in the low to mid 80s, and so they're not terribly hot either?
Yeah, that's true. And you're still seeing, again, daily thunderstorm development, just not as widespread as it could be, but that's enough to at least limit temperatures. There's no sign of any strong region of high pressure that would produce more suppressed rainfall and really begin to heat up temperatures. There's just absolutely no sign of that here for the next few weeks.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to dial in 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. And thank you.